Welcome to the Social Network Show. How do you feel about social technology in this connected, networked world we live in? Your host of the Social Network Show, Dr. J, interviews entertaining and informative guests to tackle the most pressing digital issues of interest to business professionals and nonprofit leaders, to parents and educators, and to those wondering where all this is taking us. And now your host, experimental psychologist, Dr. Jane Karwoski.
There was a time when email was the new kid on the block. America Online, AOL, was a major player. Then after that, anyone could get their own free Hotmail.com address. As Eric Qualman mentioned in our recent Customer Service Goes Social episode, contact with others went from mainly over the phone to via email. And along came websites. Everyone in business, as well as nonprofits and governmental offices, incorporated having a website into their normal expectations. It opened up e-commerce, as you could hang up a shingle out on the World Wide Web and be open for business. To keep followers apprised and educated, many added channels such as blogs, video on one's website, or on YouTube. And, of course, social media now includes a myriad of tools to choose from. Today, you will be treated to an update on another medium, one that may become as standard as a website in the coming future, and as personal as a video message, but with fewer demands on you, the source, and on the consumer. Because, let's face it, if video is nothing more than a talking head, is it really worth not only your time to produce, but the visual attention it asks from your audience? As an example, right now, you are listening to the Social Network Show. Thank you, and welcome. Now, I used to call what we do online radio, but technically that refers to terrestrial radio stations, those that broadcast over the airwaves from big towers, that are increasingly adding internet streaming of their live programming so they can be accessed live in real time over the internet instead of on a radio, or they are uploading broadcast programs to be listened to later upon demand. That would be internet radio, whereas the episodes of this show are expressly created to be uploaded to the internet where you can listen to them at your convenience and on any device. This is a podcast. So, I am embracing the label podcasting. I am a podcaster and proud of it. There will be many more of us soon. I'm your host, Jane Karwoski, and today you will be hearing from Rob Walsh, the Vice President of Podcaster Relations with Libsyn FAB Universal and co-author of the book Tricks of the Podcasting Masters. He loves to help businesses and individuals launch their podcast and teach them how to become successful podcasters. In addition, he is the host of several podcasts himself, including Podcast 411 and Today in iOS. He also co-hosts Today in Podcasting and The Feed, podcasting tips for everyone. You know, I think Rob has found his calling, and it is podcasting. Rob, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today on the Social Network Show.
Well, Dr. J, thank you for having me on, and glad to hear you're a podcaster.
Rob, first, I want to congratulate Libsyn on the new partnership with Spotify. I remember asking one of my students, where do teens today hear new music, if not on the pop music radio stations of yore? And her answer was Spotify. Can you tell us about what made partnering with Spotify attractive to Libsyn?
Exactly what you just said, the millennials. You ask them where they are. They weren't in iTunes. A lot of them were over at Spotify. And this gives us a chance to get podcasting out in front of the millennials. And that's always good because they're going to get older and be around for a while. So I want to teach them about podcasting now while they're impressionable.
Okay. And what changes does this mean? Or does it mean some changes to the rest of Libsyn, or how is that going to work?
No, if you're a Libsyn customer, what it'll eventually mean to you is you will have a Spotify destination, which you can decide if you want to have your show on Spotify or not. If you do, you set up the destination, you accept the terms of service Spotify laid out, and that gets your content up on Spotify. Right now, they're still in beta, so It's not available for everyone. Matter of fact, most of the users of Spotify at this point in time, less than 10% of the users in the US, the UK, Germany, and Sweden, have access to the podcasts. Eventually, by the end of the summer, that'll be rolled out to all of their customers in those four countries and eventually everywhere in the world. But right now, it's a beta, and they have just a select number of shows. They're reviewing more shows to add all the time. And we expect more shows to be added throughout the summer, and then eventually it'll be opened up to all podcasters that are hosting with Libsyn and maybe some other places. But right now, Libsyn's the only place that you can host your podcast and get into Spotify, unless you have a partner agreement with them for a certain network. So as an indie podcaster, you need to be on Libsyn. Matter of fact, Spotify has their own podcast, and they opened an account with us just to get their podcast into Spotify.
Oh, that's an interesting scenario there. So it sounds to me like this was actually more of a move for Spotify in terms of changes, in that I believe they were primarily music. Was that true?
Yeah, I mean, they were mostly music. They did have some comedy content, some talk comedy content, and they just wanted to open up their content offering, keep people that are Spotify users in the Spotify ecosystem as long as possible. So give them some options. Since they like listening to music and they seem to like listening to some comedy, Spotify was thinking that they'd like to also listen to history content and other content. So it's not just comedy content that was added from podcasts. Although the initial content, Spotify was leaning towards content that would hopefully appeal to millennials, since that is a key part of their demographic. But we're also looking at shows that are very big. So initially, it's focused. Eventually, it'll be much wider open because that's what it really needs to be for it to work well for them. It can't just be hand curated, a certain subsegment of the podcast world. Because ultimately, what happens is then certain shows that people like aren't there, and then people, I'm going to go where everything is, and
Spotify
knows that. So
they want to keep them there with Spotify. And that makes sense, to make it as much variety as possible. Then I want to review just for a moment millennials. When we talk about millennials, they are, as of 2015, what age group?
Well, I think what they... It's hard to narrow it down. Some people say it's those that were born after 2000. Some will say it's right now people up to the age of 18, teenagers, a little bit higher than that. Some will say it's up to the people that are even in college. I kind of look at it as right now people that are getting in the first couple of years of college or younger. So it's probably a little broader in my mindset than maybe what the technical definition of a millennial is.
I think it is, because millennials, my understanding of that is they're currently like 15 to 35. Generation Y, 2000 and younger, as their birth date. So in any rate, it's older teens and young adults.
Yeah, and some of the podcasts traditionally have had very good audiences in that age range. They may be wrestling podcasts, they may be gamer podcasts, but there are certain podcasts that have done well, and that overall podcasting, however, if you looked at it from the broader picture, has been a higher age group. It's been in the 35 to 55 range is where we see most of the downloads when we look at demographic surveys going to. So being able to get in front of an audience that's under 35, which is where Spotify definitely falls. The majority of their audience is between the 12 and definitely between 12 and 35. That to us, obviously, as a podcaster and podcasting hosting company, that is very appealing to get out in front of new audience, new potential audience. And Spotify audience is very large. I mean, 75 million average monthly users.
Right.
So that's a big deal. That's about the same size as how many people actually download podcasts each month. So it's almost a doubling of the audience. Now, there's some crossover, but not a lot.
Okay. So for people that are currently on Libsyn, it means a large increase in possible listeners or the audience, the people who are going to have access to them.
I always preface that with a large potential audience
listening. Uh-huh, yeah.
Just because people are there listening to music doesn't necessarily mean all or most of them will want to listen to spoken word.
Yeah.
But some of them will, and that's important. And this day and age, I would expect Spotify within a year, within 6 months of when they open it up to all their users, that Spotify will probably be the number two place where people discover podcasts.
And the number one being?
iTunes. And no one's going to touch that for a long time.
Okay.
If ever.
But this will open it up, especially to the users of other systems other than iPhone.
Yeah. Available to Android users. Spotify is on many different platforms. Right now, although when they did the beta release of this, it's just for iOS users, although I'm not sure if they've released the Android version yet, but soon to be released for Android for podcasting as well.
Oh, okay. So are there any other effects you think this might have on Libsyn clients in general?
No. What Libsyn tries to do is provide different destinations for users to get involved with. We also have a destination now for TuneIn and even SoundCloud. So we make it easy for you to release your content to those destinations. And like the Nerdist is doing with their Nerdist industry with all their shows, they're actually using our tools to release their content 3 hours earlier to Spotify than it gets released anywhere else. So if you're a Spotify user, you can actually get the Nerdist and any of the Nerdist industry shows a little bit earlier. And that's something that we have the ability to do with our tools. So the Nerdist like that got them a nice feature placement in Spotify when they had the Spotify global announcement of it.
Okay. And do you see any, and I think we'll go into this in the second half of our show, but any other additional trends and what big things have happened in the podcasting world lately? So this is your host, Jane Karwoski. You're listening to Rob Walch of Libsyn, and he will share more podcasting ideas and trends with you in the second half of today's episode of The Social Network Show.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. Now, back to The Social Network Show.
You're listening to The Social Network Show and Rob Walch, Vice President of Podcaster Relations with Libsyn, which is from Liberated Syndication. And he is with us to share with you more about whether podcasting is for you, for instance. Maybe you currently blog and wonder about adding an audio dimension to your communication with the great beyond, that global village at our fingertips. Rob has consulted with New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, Senator John Edwards, and Jack Welch, the former CEO of GE, of course, and many others on podcasting topics and how-tos. He has a monthly column for Blogger and Podcaster Magazine, as well as App Developer Magazine, and he organizes the Kansas City Podcaster Meetup. Rob, what are the biggest challenges with podcast clients that you find?
Expectations. I think the biggest challenge is a lot of them come in skewed with expectations that they're going to make $1 million, they're going to get 1 million listeners, and they're going to do this all in 6 months. And there is no guarantee for listenership. There is no guarantee for revenue. Most people don't make enough money to even pay for their hosting and their equipment. The median number of downloads for a podcast is about 170 to 180. The average is somewhere around 1,900. Which may sound low, but when you compare it to a blog, it's much higher than what the median number for blog reads are and average number for blog reads.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So it's a low number, but people sometimes, there's a lot of people run around in this medium counting off numbers that are usually made up and getting people's expectations out of whack. So you're not going to come into this and make a ton of money right away. It's going to take a while. People that are making money at this, they paid their dues, and it took them a while to get to the point where they're at today.
Right. The overnight success that took 5 years.
Yes.
Or whatever. There's an interesting dynamic here with regard to gender, because whereas I believe the last stats I got from you were 52% of bloggers are female, whereas most podcasters are male. Only 13% are female. Is that pretty much accurate now? Is that has it changed much since we talked last?
I haven't looked since we talked last, but based on just what I see, I haven't seen anything to indicate that it has changed. So, you know, the number is small. The number of female podcasters still is small. It's still highly male-driven medium, which is sad, because to really break out, we need to get more females podcasting. Mm-hmm. And as I have said before on the show, is if you're a female blogger and you're not podcasting, you're really shooting yourself in the foot, because the ratio of female bloggers to female podcasters is about 7,500 to 1. And you want to stand out from those female bloggers, the other female bloggers you're competing with on your niche, get a podcast.
Right. Okay. And I want to talk to you about some particular success story you'd might like to share. What has been happening recently to put podcasting on, well, let's say a higher plane?
Well, you know, this is one of those overnight successes. WTF with Mark Maron. You know, Mark started many, many years ago doing this, and his podcast has taken off in the last couple of years, and he was able to get the ultimate guest on his show, and not just on his show, in his garage, to come and sit down in his garage with him, and that's the President of the United States.
I encourage everyone to listen to that podcast, WTF. Just search for that and on your podcast search tool. And he makes some really cute and funny remarks prior to the president's arrival that I related to. And then their discussion was quite interesting, too. So, they're in his garage. He said he was nervous, but President Obama was not nervous.
No, not yet. I didn't expect the president to be nervous sitting down in Mark's garage for the interview. But Mark, as expected, and as anyone would, having the president come in, you're going to be freaking out. And as he said, he was freaking out before the president got there. But it's a great interview. And the episode that follows it, the one that came up the Thursday after that, listen to that one as well as a podcaster, because they give the behind the scenes of what it took to get that interview to happen, how long it was working, the progress, well over a year. From when they first were contacted via the web form on their webpage by the White House to when they finally had the president sitting down in Mark's garage. Very interesting story on how it came to be, and it was a great interview, and you get to hear for an hour Mark talking with the president in a format that you really have never heard before with the mm-hmm. president. You've never had that long form conversation where you get to hear the president being interviewed, and it was great. It was great for the medium, and I say to people, there's two big takeaways from this. One, it shows all the PR people out there that are trying to book their clients that podcasting is now a legitimate place for them to go and pitch to their clients that, hey, you should go on this podcast. Yeah. Now the clients aren't going to say anymore, well, why would I want to go on a podcast? They say, well, the president was on a podcast. Go on a podcast. And two, the number of people that downloaded that episode is huge. It broke our record at Libsyn for the first 24 hours of release. It was downloaded more than twice the previous record. So, it was a huge number of downloads in the first 24 hours and over a million in the first 42 hours. And again, well beyond anything we've ever seen before. So, great demand on that. A lot of people came into that interview not knowing what podcasting were. A lot of them came into iTunes and saw that was being featured and went and listened to that and actually subscribed, because Mark's next episode, he had over double his normal amount of downloads in the first 48 hours. And most of those, 89% of those new listeners, because the number is twice what it's previously been, were via aggregators. So people that actually clicked that subscribe button on iTunes or in Downcast or Stitcher. So it taught a lot of people how to subscribe and how to listen to a podcast, that one interview. And that interview will be listened to millions and millions of times mm-hmm. by the end of this year. And it's one that's timeless. It'll be out there forever. And it was just a great moment for podcasting. I know some people want to downplay it. I don't think you can downplay it. I think it was a very big watershed moment for podcasting for those two key reasons I mentioned. One, on the PR side, it's going to open up a lot more celebrities to come into the space and do interviews like this. And two, it introduced a lot of people to podcasting that may have not been familiar with it previously.
Yes, that would be a great thing because, of course, people who are consumers of audio content, previously, it was about 17% of them were using podcasts. So if that number can rise, that would be a super thing for podcasters and for the public because it is such an easy way of accessing audio content. The following episode that you referred to is called The President Was Here. Mm-hmm. So, now you also are involved with podcasting, gatherings,
oh, yeah.
You might say.
Yeah, well, we try at Lipson, we try to go out to different live events because virtual is nice, but live is sometimes better. You know, I've met you in person a couple times now in Vegas at the New Media Expo, and there's another event coming up in Texas, July 31st. August 1st, August 2nd, called Podcast Movement, which is all about podcasting, and about 1,000 podcasters plus that will be there. And that'll be a nice event. It's some big names are going to be there talking. Glenn Beck is going to be there doing a keynote. Aisha Tyler is doing a keynote. Sarah Koning from Serial will be there. So some big names will be at that event. So expect, if you're going, to learn a lot, and more importantly, to mingle and meet other podcasters. And Libsyn will be there. We have a table at the show, and we'll have three people there from Libsyn to shake hands, hopefully mm-hmm. give out some T-shirts to Libsyn.
Oh, yes. I recommend those T-shirts. Where do we go online to learn more about that?
Just Google Podcast Movement. And that's all you need to do. You'll find it. Yep. Yeah, if you Google Podcast Movement, you'll find all the information about it. And if you use a promo code Libsyn, it'll save you $100 off your registration.
Ooh, okay. Got that. Promo code Libsyn. So Podcast Movement, that's the name of that particular event in Texas.
Correct. And it's in Dallas.
Yeah. Texas is a big state. That was my next question. Where in Texas? In looking forward to a more the future, you might say, any cutting edge trends or things we should be paying attention to as podcasters?
Well, I think it really is about mobile. It's been that way for a while, and it's continuing that way. I think the appification of podcasting, where having your own app is really important, especially on the Android side. Because Android is kind of a wasteland on podcasting. When you look at it, iOS versus Android, there's over 5.5 to 1 ratio iOS downloads to Android. But there's a 5-to-1 ratio Android devices to iPhones. So that actually works out to over 25-to-1 consumption ratio for the typical iPhone versus the typical Android phone. And you know, people try to say, well, it's because there's different demographics and economics of people that use iPhones versus Android. It's not that. That might be a small piece of the puzzle. The real reason there's such a disparity between the two platforms is Apple on the iOS side has the podcast app, which is native and is something they've pushed. And Android, Google's done nothing to promote podcasting. As I always say, when you're a podcaster, Google is not your friend. And they haven't done anything to help podcasting. There's no native directory on Android. And until Google actually decides to do something to promote podcasting, that gap between iOS and Android isn't going to get smaller. I mean, it's gotten bigger in the last 2 years. It went from 4-to-1 now to 5.5-to-1. Mm-hmm. And hopefully Google at some point will add a podcast directory, but I just don't see it happening anytime soon, if ever. So
if you've got an Android app as a podcaster, where do people go to find the show or to get the app?
Google Play.
Okay.
So it's important because it allows you to put a link on your website if someone comes on an Android device to click to download your app. So they're not downloading a third-party app and then searching for your show. They're downloading your app. It's on their home screen. It's your relationship, your connection with them. It's a better branding moment. But more importantly than that, it gives you a chance to be discovered natively in Android. There's no native way to discover podcasts except in the Google Play App Store and the Amazon App Store. So by having your apps in those app stores, you make your content discoverable to people that be stumbling upon or searching through the App Store looking for a subject. Maybe they're looking for something on marketing and they come across your app because you have marketing in there. Maybe your app is about wrestling and they come across something that's searching for wrestling or do it yourself or whatever your topic is. Having your app in the App Store gets you out in front of over 1.5 billion people a month who download apps.
Mm-hmm. And I've never come across anybody on an app diet. It doesn't seem like there's a limit to how many apps people want to download. So you can add your own specific app for your podcast. You've already told us about basically don't quit your day job when you start podcasting. But any other warnings or cautions about the podcasting world you would like to put out there?
Moderation. You know, we see a lot of shooting stars, people that come out of the gate way too hot and heavy and then burn out by their 10th episode. Plan it out. Understand, you know, that get your expectation levels right. If you're looking at this as a hobby, as something fun to do, you'll be podcasting for a long time.
Right.
If you send me an email that says, this is my fallback plan, I lost my job, you're not going to be podcasting long. You may not even be alive long. I mean,
financially, at least.
Yeah. You might be throwing that rope over the beam in the garage. And, you know,
please. I don't like that image.
When people send me emails saying that this is their fallback plan, I just don't think it's going to end well.
You mentioned people coming out of the gate really overboard or hot and heavy. What are you referring to there? I don't understand.
But what some people will actually do is that they'll come out of the gate where they've pre-produced 30 episodes already. And they're overproducing and overscheduling and not understanding the amount of time that it takes to actually produce the content. And they burn out because they're expecting instant riches. And they spend way too much time doing it and they do nothing else. And anytime your life becomes unbalanced, it's not a good thing unless there's some reward there, and it's not going to be a reward right away. And so you've got all the expenses of giving up your social life to do this. I always say to people, if you're doing this as a hobby, if you're doing this as something to build your brand, a long-term plan, this will work out well for you. If you're doing this with a short-term ROI in your mind and you're going to do this and you're going to make millions, you'll be here today and gone tomorrow.
Okay. Think again, huh? And so slow and steady wins the race. And so they may have 30 episodes, but publish them, upload them way too fast, maybe one a day or something. And that's not something you're going to be able to sustain. It would be great to have 30 shows in the can, but on the other hand, you want to be current and apply what you learn as you go along, and that's not going to happen if you do everything at once. So those are good thoughts. Well, Rob, thanks a lot. We're really glad to hear about the president's interview on Mark Maron's WTF podcast, and hey, maybe that'll even get Google's attention.
We can only hope, but
Denny, I can see you're not real positive, you know.
Yeah,
it's
going to follow right when pigs start flying and you pink elephants start walking down Main Street.
Okay, Google Play. Rob Walt has thrown down the gauntlet. So
I want Google to prove me wrong. I want to be able to say I was wrong. Thank you, Google, for proving me wrong.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Rob.
Dr. J, thank you so much for having me on the show again.
And thanks also to you, our listener, and our most important guest for keeping us company on The Social Network Show. Do visit our website at thesocialnetworkstation.com or thesocialnetworkshow.com. You'll end up at the same place. And you'll also find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher.com, and you can follow me at socialnetshow2 on Twitter. And do let us hear from you. As I mentioned, previous episodes, would love to hear from you in terms of what you'd like to hear more of on the show, any particular guests you'd like to hear from, and we are certainly eager to comply. So thank you, and until we meet you here again, please be safe and have fun online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.